Your best friend has just been murdered. Executed, in fact. You could have helped him escape, but you ran instead. You are a coward. You're angry and disappointed, not only with yourself, but with him. He said he could handle anything, that he was big enough, that he was God. Or at least that's what you've heard. And so you're scared. People know who you are now, too. You were inseparable with him for years. You were witnesses to his crimes, and you're now known as his accomplice. And you're thinking to yourself, how do I get out of town? How can I sneak out of here? Your hopes, which just 3 days earlier were bright and full of joy, have now been crushed. Can you picture the scene in the upper room just 3 days after sharing the joyous Passover meal together? The doors are locked. The room is dim. There's a low murmur of voices in the background. As you sit in the corner and wonder in fear. We've all sat in that room, brothers and sisters, the upper room. We've run back there like the disciples did because we're scared and we don't know where else to go. We've lived in fear in our relationship with God, just like these disciples are in the gospel today. If you look around that upper room, place yourself there, you would see fear on the face of every man and woman in that room. One of the holiest women that I've known was my grandmother Irene. And for many years, my relationship with her was one of fear. My earliest and best memory of her, and I do put best in quotes, was when I was being babysat around the age of 7 or 8. And she asked me to go into the other room and get a piece of paper out of the drawer. And so I did. And in that drawer I found contraband, something that was not allowed in my house. It was gum. Probably too many children, certainly not me. It was my siblings who had had accidents with gum, made it a forbidden substance in the Marnie house. So to discover it at Grandma's house presented to me a great temptation. So while I was in the room, I took one out, stuck it in my mouth. It was hard as a rock and stale as could be, but oh so glorious. That night I went home and the phone rang, and my grandmother ratted me out. My dad brought me into my parents' bedroom and asked me, did you steal a piece of gum from your grandmother? And I said yes. And my rear end still remembers it. It created for me a relationship based on fear towards my grandmother, right or wrong. So much fear that from that point on until I was 14 years old, I would have a reoccurring nightmare several times a week where the tornado sirens would go off in our house and I would go running out into the family room to see what was going on. And there's my grandmother who would promptly come over to me, grab the back of my shirt, haul me to the backsliding door, and literally drop kick me like a football out of the back of the house, and I would go flying up into the air where a tornado awaited me. Then I woke up every time. But brothers and sisters, one thing that every Christian must understand is that fear, I'm not talking about a proper fear of God, but fear, like what I just described, should never be part of our relationship with God or with each other. Fear, there's a good acronym for fear. It is false evidence appearing real. It's a lie at its core. I thought my grandmother was mean and rode on a broomstick and wore a black hat. The disciples thought they were lost. They thought they were going to be the ones crucified next. They lived in fear. And many of us here today live in fear. Fear of God, an unhealthy fear of God, a fear of relationships, a fear that perhaps we can't be forgiven for what we've done, or that one thing in my past that I can't let go of. Fear because at some point we abandoned Jesus too. But brothers and sisters, that is not the end of the story. Put yourself in that upper room again. Look around. Jesus comes into that room. And what does he say to his disciples? Now you might expect he's just been totally abandoned by all the people who loved him. And you or I, if we walked into that room, might say, well, guys, thanks a lot. I thought you were my friends. But instead, the first word out of Jesus' mouth is peace. It's a word of reconciliation. Look around that room, and you would see fear on the face of every man and woman in that room. Fear that they know what they've done. They know they abandoned Jesus. But yet Jesus reaches out to them and offers them peace. I mean, when do we do that? When has somebody hurt you before? And I mean deeply. Like walking away from you when you're laying there dying deep. And then they come over to your house to offer you a word of reconciliation, even though you're the one who wounded them. That's the love of Jesus which reaches out to you. But then there's Thomas. Poor Thomas. The doubting Thomas. Look around the room when Thomas finally shows up a week later. Now there's the beginnings of faith. And two types of faith. You have the faith of the disciples who have been there a week, who have seen the risen Lord. Yet, you know what's funny? The doors are still locked. They're still scared. I mean, how many of you have grown up as cradle Catholics or have known the faith for many years, yet you find yourself in positions, maybe at work or out in public, where you're scared to express your faith? Or perhaps you're like Thomas, who has come late to the party. Remember that you're never too late until death occurs. That there is always a chance to respond in faith. If you look around that upper room in the gospel today, even if you look around this church today and could see the souls of the people sitting next to you, you would find fear. Because many of us have not yet known the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. If you look around the room and see people's souls, you will see those forgiven. Because some of us have accepted the love, which doesn't wait for an apology, but reaches out and says that I love you without condition. You will also see as you look around this room faith, Because after knowing that unconditional love, it isn't a response of fear anymore. It's not fear of hell. It's knowing that I'm loved and wanting to respond to that love. I had that dream about my grandmother one last time when I was 14, and it got slightly changed. The tornado sirens went off. I ran out into the living room. She dragged me over to the back door. She kicked me out. I flew up into the sky, and the tornado swirled me around a couple times. And then I got thrown back down and totally clobbered my grandmother. And then the two of us held hands, and we went outside, and we helped people start picking up after the tornado. And from that point on, I never had the dream again. And in my relationship with my grandmother, I began to see her not as a figure of fear in my life or somebody who's going to get me in trouble, but somebody who loved me and who I could love back. One of my fondest memories is when she started to deal with her fears as she neared death. Sitting with her and listening to her. The fears that I think many of us carry around with us about past sin, about whether we've lived our life rightly or made the right decision. And I know through many tears, she began to discover that God is not one to fear, but one who forgives, loves, and brings us to faith. So, brothers and sisters, where do you live right now? Do you live in fear? Do you live in forgiveness? Or do you live in faith?